Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, after a weekend of weather that you may never forget, this will probably be a week to remember in national politics as well. Post your storm stories to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We'll take calls later on what happened on your block. You just heard on the news some of the ramifications that are still definitely affecting people around the area. We're also looking on our website for a name for this storm. Around the office this morning, we've been calling it the wet-pocalypse or the wind-pocalypse, but you can do better than that. So go to our Facebook page or our webpage, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and tell us what happened on your block. We'll do an oral history later in the program and also name this storm. This should, of course, be a make-or-break week for health reform as well. We will count some heads and describe some possible procedural contortions to block it or get it done. Later in the show, we'll also name the names of two of the swing members of the House from our area. And President Obama is introducing his overhaul of No Child Left Behind this week, and Senator Christopher Dodd of Connecticut, as his last big initiative before he retires, is introducing today the bill that he hopes will be the government's definitive response to the too-big-to-fail banking crash that brought down the economy. And as with health reform and the stimulus and some other things, Dodd spent the last few weeks trying to craft a bipartisan bill, but he got precisely zero Republicans to sign on. So let's start there, and with the new revelations about how Lehman Brothers covered up its problems before its collapse really triggered the crisis on September 15th, 2008, the Lehman-pocalypse. Let's say Lehman was employing some creative accountants. I wonder where those people are working today. With me now, Robin Farzad, senior writer for Business Week. Hi, Robin. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. The Dodd bill. The Wall Street Journal is reporting this morning that the bill will be tougher than they expected on Wall Street on the bigger banks. What's new here in the last few days?
Well, the fact that you're going to give the Fed really any power to truly, at the end of the day, examine any bank holding company, and the threshold is with more than $50 billion in assets. Before, the driving age for that was $100 billion. What this does is throw in a lot of these miscellaneous holding-type companies and hedge funds and derivatives writers and even the likes of AIG into that bucket.
And what happens once you're in that bucket exactly?
You are open to really tight scrutiny by the Federal Reserve. This would be consolidated under really the auspices of currently Mr. Bernanke, and a separate regulator would be appointed within the Federal Reserve to watch and scrutinize these transactions and risk areas, and actually to slap fines and sanctions on these banks. So really, it's hoping to keep them honest.
If they do what? What do these regulators look for in a situation like that?
Well, this is a constantly changing definition. If we, for example, we're going to talk about the Lehman story. If we, the Fed may have been able to forestall what was going on at Lehman by scrutinizing its books and saying, actually, you have really bad assets that you're qualifying as good assets, and in this case, we want to force you to step forward and be more forthcoming. Mm-hmm. There was no mechanism in place. So now they have to answer not just to the SEC and the NASD, but increasingly the Federal Reserve, the uber economic regulator.
So, listeners, this is the first way you can make your voice heard today. What do you want to see from the Dodd bill? What do you fear from the Dodd bill? Anybody work in the finance sector who wants to weigh in on this, pro or con? You've heard what's been emerging in recent days about what Senator Dodd will introduce today. 212-433-WNYC. Anyone may call. Do you think this goes far enough? Are you rooting for Senator Dodd's last hurrah here or rooting against it? 212-433-WNYC. Or any questions about it for Robin Farzad, senior writer for Business Week, 212-433-9692. And we have a comments page for this on our website, headline Monday Morning Exchange. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show for that. So, Robin, Dodd was working for the last few weeks with Republican Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee to try and get a bipartisan bill or at least one Republican on board at the start. Did that fall apart over certain specific issues?
I think it fell apart, frankly, over the tenor. And both sides realized that in the Democrats' instance, that you have kind of a wasting asset in terms of political capital. As November approaches, and it's still very pungent in their memory what happened in Massachusetts, and certain elements of Tea Partyism entwined in this, and the Republicans thinking, well, maybe it's not worth our while to truly cooperate with this, because then again, you're proposing quite an aggressive expansion of government's central powers. This is really flies in the face of federalism. It's taking powers away from the states. It's consolidating under one uber regulator, again, in Washington, D.C. So Republicans surely are counseling one another to maybe run out the clock on this, that politically it's more savvy for them.
Perhaps most contentious is the provision for a Consumer Financial Protection Agency. Wall Street really is afraid of that, apparently. How come?
Well, because Wall Street does make a lot of money on the fine print, truly, on the things that, on elements where, you know, overdraft protection, quote unquote, financing charges, late fees, the devil is in the details with these things. In aggregate, they provide hundreds of billions of dollars of income to the financial services sector overall. And if you put a hard kind of a seal on how these things can and can't be done, it's increasingly difficult to find loopholes in the system to game. And Wall Street at this time is being told by the government, you need to go out there, you need to lend, you need to recapitalize yourself and pay back TARP obligations. And on the other hand, they're being told by the government that they can't count on these types of revenue anymore.
Rachel in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning. I just have a couple of comments. First is, I think the notion that regulation is going to solve your problem is not so great, because you're never going to pay regulators enough to outsmart people who make what they make on Wall Street. That's one comment. The second one is, the banks get tremendous benefits just from the fact that they are supposedly regulated. People see that as a stamp of approval. They have deposit insurance. They don't pay anything near the value of their either explicit or implicit guarantees, and they therefore can compete at a terrible competitive advantage relative to other people who are raising funds in the markets. And I think we have to address that problem, and so far as I can see, no one is.
Are you suggesting then, Rachel, that we deregulate the banks to the point of, say, eliminating FDIC protection, because that gives them the appearance of the government stamp of approval, the appearance of safety? We had a U.S. Senate candidate from Connecticut, Peter Schiff, last week, maybe you heard him, who's running for the Republican nomination, who said, yeah, we should undo FDIC protection, completely let the banks, as any other business, succeed or fail in the marketplace and not even try to regulate them.
Well, you know, I heard that. I happened to hear that program, and it's actually, you know, Roosevelt never wanted to have FDIC insurance, but I don't think you can put that genie back in the bottle. And therefore, I think you have to do something to charge the banks explicitly for the benefits that they have.
Rachel, thank you. So the banks don't see it this way, Robin Farzad from Business Week, that regulation is in their interest, but it certainly does give them this kind of, you know, good Federal Reserve housekeeping seal of approval.
That's right.
Would the bill and the possibilities, and to me this is the biggest question, that investment firms that fail will be deemed too big to fail and we'll all have to bail them out again? Would the Dodd bill end too big to fail?
I don't see how it can, because in parallel to this, the Fed and the Treasury have created institutions that are even bigger to fail. I mean, if you thought J.P. Morgan Chase was big, well, welcome to J.P. Morgan Chase, Bear Stearns, WaMu, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
But
you know,
I was
Bank
reading,
of America, Merrill Lynch.
Right, but I was reading that even after those consolidations, that there are things in this Dodd bill that supposedly would dismantle big institutions in a different kind of way. Rather than bail them out, really take them apart and give them to other institutions if we got into a situation like this again. No?
I still contend that that's more in theory than in practice. In practice, it's devilishly difficult to do this and to unwind derivative obligations. There's also a proposal here potentially for a central clearinghouse for derivatives. You can't imagine all the different moving parts in trying to regulate an increasingly global economic system that is tethered to derivatives, really to untangle, to extricate these things. If you look at just the example of Lehman Brothers, well, there's so much hand-wringing over what should have happened, what was allowed to happen in those weeks leading up to mid-September of 2008. And still, if you were to put former Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson's hands to the fire and say, listen, what could we have done differently? They're hard-pressed to answer. Timothy Geithner or Ben Bernanke is very hard-pressed to answer it in a different format. Is there anything in place now, or was there anything in place before, or could we put anything in place for a controlled demolition of one of these gigantic firms?
Nick in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nick.
Yeah, hi, Brian. I find it hard to believe after the crash that we're still asking what Wall Street would want. There were regulations in place 10 years ago that would have prevented most of the worst abuses and frauds, really, that we saw with the mortgage-backed securities and the derivatives. And to put in weak regulation now would only give an illusion. What should have been done is they should have been allowed to fail. Back in 2008, and these incredible sums that have gone to the bailout could have ended all the debt of the states and allowed states to allow their to start their own banks. It's time to start thinking past the capitalist system that's just going to keep failing exactly in the same way. And Dodd is in the pocket of the banks, as are most of the Democrats and Republicans.
Nick, thank you. And how much is Chris Dodd, who, after all, has, you know, he's been the chairman of the banking committee. He's gotten tremendous amounts of donations, campaign donations from the banks and their employees over the years. So Robin Farzad from Business Week, is this Chris Dodd unleashed now that he's retiring? You know, is he doing anything different now than he would have been doing if he was running for re-election and trying to continue to play ball with all parties?
Certainly there's an element of nothing to lose or a lot less to lose, but he's being prodded at the same time by the Obama administration, which realizes that they still have a core issue. They have a great bête noire in the banking industry, in the latent anger at what happened, you know, last year and 2 years ago, and the continued divergence between the fates of Wall Street and Main Street, where you have double-digit unemployment. So he's being prodded to do this, and a lot of it, again, is a bit of bluster and Potemkin regulation, because this is going to have to be reconciled with the other side. It's very hard to imagine this coming out in a straight majority vote, not being susceptible to a filibuster. Republicans and Democrats are increasingly worried about their fortunes in
November. They couldn't use reconciliation like they might do with the health care bill on this one, too?
They could, but it seems like you would save that as a kind of a break in case of emergency thing. That I don't know if they're going to have enough bandwidth or political capital to use reconciliation twice and maybe sneak this past the goalie before November. So this is very much, this alone would be a huge type of regulatory extension. I mean, we're talking, it's not necessarily akin to resuscitating the Glass-Steagall Act, but that's something there that if we didn't have health care to worry about, if we didn't have all these other parallel measures to worry about, would need everybody's attention on Capitol Hill. That's why you have people on Wall Street this morning already saying that the chances are not enormous that the thing would pass intact.
Lehman Brothers, when that big Wall Street firm went under on September 15, 2008, that was the trigger that froze credit markets worldwide and really sent the economy plunging into global crisis. And now we are learning what about Lehman covering up its troubles?
Yeah, this is kind of like, you know, finding that the O-rings were the things that melted and caused the shuttle to blow up midair. There's going to be lots of investigating going on, but it turns out that what you probably expected, as a cynical viewer out there, as someone who was on their best behavior, that Lehman Brothers, if not cooking the books outright, was massaging the books, you know, as it was spiraling toward insolvency, that there was enough flexibility for management there to be able to designate certain really bad assets as being not so bad, and then putting them in certain areas where they were not open to balance sheet scrutiny. And it turns out that the one party, I think, in this that turns out to be very vindicated is the short seller community that came out and was questioning Lehman throughout the summer, was saying, well, you claim your earnings are robust. You claim you clean the toxicity off your balance sheet. Well, I dare you to show me what the assets are in this pocket on your balance sheet. I mean, they were the only ones that were trying to call them out. And now we see that management, at least I think in the investigator's report, was grossly negligent in allowing these things to happen. Whether or not, you know, it was just salutary neglect or active connivance is a whole other issue.
So open question as to whether there'll be criminal behavior here. But what does it say about the government? Because, again, we get a free market argument. Lawrence Kudlow and others are making this argument that the people who caught the Lehman fraud were the short sellers, yes, and were not the government regulators. Therefore, don't even try to regulate the markets with government because they're going to either be too stupid or too in their pockets to get it. And don't ban short selling in a crisis because they actually do more good than harm.
It's much more nuanced than that. An earlier one of your callers, I believe her name was Rachel,
yes,
spoke to the asymmetry in this, is that government is never going to be able to pay regulators and watchdogs enough to counter how much Wall Street pays really the smartest people in the room, lawyers, accountants, quants, to game the system. That's always going to be a disconnect. It's always going to be an asymmetry. The question now for regulators is, can you think ahead enough? Can you imagine how Wall Street is going to morph into its next jig enough to put up preemptive measures so that we don't have the likes of Lehman and AIG happening again? And I think that that is very open to skepticism and cynicism by people that say that it's just the government is just chronically incapable of doing that.
Jim in Jackson has a question about the Dodd bill. Hi, Jim.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay.
My question is the Chris Dodd bill going to address the rating agencies and the what I consider to be almost collusion, where one Wall Street titan is pricing or valuing the assets of another Wall Street agency? And another comment I would like to make is that and on the local level, in local government, when construction permits are issued and large projects are done, the local governments will levy fees in the form of filing fees, et cetera, et cetera. Why can't the bill be structured so that the government doesn't have to necessarily pay every time these corporate giants make money, and it could not is so much in a tax, but it could be done in some sort of a form through corporate law where the rating agencies, these corporate giants, will pay to have themselves policed?
All right. Robert Farzad?
Oh, boy. Lots of stuff asked there. I think the ratings agencies, they get short-shrifted, or the urgency of regulating them is short-shrifted in this measure because they're going to hold on to the argument, and it's worked for them for 30 or 40 years that they have a constitutionally protected opinion, that this is kind of their editorial opinion. And they use this through Enron, through the bankruptcy of Orange County, through the nationalization of Continental Illinois Bank in the early 80s. And it still works for them because there's still no other alternative. What is there going to be a central clearinghouse for bond rating opinion that the government can then watch very carefully to make sure that there aren't conflicts of interest?
But who believes the bond raters anymore?
Believe me, they still do, because the system is codified at the very least for example, a fund manager to say, I'm only allowed to buy A-rated securities in this bond portfolio. So it's passing the buck, I think, on due diligence. It would be a pain for a bond manager to actually have to go out there and dissect all the holdings that he has in his portfolio, so he can then subcontract that to a bond ratings firm. And they're still happy to turn the other cheek and do it that way because it's far more cost-effective for the investment manager.
All right. Well, we will see what happens with this no more too big to fail, so they say, though Robin Farzad of Business Week doubts it, bill that Chris Dodd is introducing today in the Senate as his last hurrah as chairman of the Senate Banking Committee before he retires at the end of this year. Robin Farzad, senior writer for Business Week, thank you very much.
Thank you much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we have Jose Peralta and Hira Montserrat as they run for Montserrat's seat, what was Montserrat's seat before he was expelled by his colleagues in the Senate for a domestic violence conviction. We have both candidates coming up in a minute.